Welcome back to the Jeff Flores Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson makes his weekly appearance from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. Also, from the Trustful Tribune, Scott Buttram, the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, I should say, in the 11 o'clock hour. And let's stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, he's with us every other Monday, and I'm very pleased about that, very grateful for that. State Representative Shane Stringer here with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
I've seen better days, but that's okay. This was going to take a little time, but it feels just like 2 years ago. So just being an Auburn fan has just certain expectations, and this seems to be one of them. But we won't go into that too much. Anyway, let's kick it off here. Libraries and the governor making a move to dismiss one of the members of the state library board. One of your colleagues, Susan Dubose, she seems like she's really kind of the tip of the spear here on this. If there's going to be any legislative action, which is, you know, entirely possible. What do you make of this saga?
Well, I think that there has to be some checks and balances in place. And, you know, I applaud the governor for stepping up and taking some action. You know, there is going to be checks and balances in place for these different agencies. And, you know, they're going to always be some rebellion anytime there's the governor or legislature takes any action. So I applaud the governor for what she's done and what, you know, taking a stand on this.
Yeah, it's just it's funny that the culture war has gotten to Alabama libraries. And you know, Representative, and we may have talked about this in the past, but it's like one thing for the libraries to do this, but the public has buy-in. So for example, if you're in California or something, and they decide they want to have these books with about these quote-unquote gender-affirming issues or whatever it may be, and that's what the community wants. That's what they get. It's government by the people for the people. Here we never got that conversation unless I missed it. It just seems like a lot of things, just like a lot of things in Montgomery, just sort of imposed upon us.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of the legislature, you know, we see it. You know, they're just doing what they want without any input or from the communities or, you know, the governing bodies. So I don't know. Something needs to be done. I mean, I don't. My 6 year old, he gets books from the public library, and we don't want him, you know, getting books that have that kind of material in it. And so I'm hoping that, you know, the governor gets their attention and, you know, they realize how important this is. I mean, it's becoming, like you said, a nationwide problem. And you would never think that we would see something like this in Alabama, but yet here we are.
And the opponents of a lot of this, it's you guys want to like ban books, but that's not really what this is about. It's just it's maintaining a certain standard of age appropriate content in certain parts of the library. No one's saying, hey, we need to go have a book burning behind the library this afternoon. But and the left is doing that, though. The left and a lot of the opponents to any kind of like public buy-in to the bureaucracy is making this out to be something it's not. Do you get that sense?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what the left and the woke community is wanting, you know, to do. They're trying to turn everything around and try to make it look like that, you know, the normal or right people are, you know, making a issue over nothing. But in fact, it is. It is a stance we have got to stand on. We are got to stand up for our children and make sure that, you know, that these different groups are not being able to convert or transition my kid at school or in the library to believing in all of that nonsense as normal, because it's not.
Well, you know, and that is here's the thing. Whenever I see some of these critics, we'll call them critics, won't name any names, but it's all about you guys in the legislature and Republicans just pandering for votes. So that's all you care about. You're just pandering, and this isn't really an issue, and you're just trying to rile up the masses. But I don't know. I was looking at the scoreboard, and, you know, especially this last election cycle, it looked like you guys that ran on the Republican ticket did pretty well, even without the library issue. So, like, to me, whenever I hear that, I mean, you got to respond to it. But it isn't really the case, is it, that you're just doing this because you're trying to gin up some enthusiasm for the grand old party there?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm representing the people of my district in District 102, and these are issues and concerns to them. My constituents are tired of elected officials not standing up for what's right, not standing up for the values of their districts and our communities. And it is time that we take a stand and do that. You know, whether it be with that or, you know, whether it be protecting our Second Amendment rights or First Amendment rights, or, you know, we have got to stand up. We took an oath to the Constitution, and we have got to stand up for that and our constituents.
Well, I mean, it is a market-based political system, and you are doing what your constituents want. But it's not like you're sitting there thinking, well, I better do something splashy or I am going to lose my next election. I mean, here, you don't run again for 3 years. It's just, whenever I hear that, it drives me crazy. And it just seems like a lazy way of getting around doing the right thing.
Yeah, and we're seeing that across the country in politics, where they're, you know, trying to convince everybody that right is wrong and wrong is right. You know, we have got to take a stand and stand up for our children, stand up for, you know, our communities. We've got to continue to support and back the blue and the police and make sure we have law enforcement in our communities. You know, we've got to get back to the basics. Our country was founded on communities, on church and in our communities. And, I mean, our money even has In God We Trust. I mean, we have got to quit letting the left and the woke convince us that anything other than, you know, what we're doing is wrong. You know, if we stand up for what's right, it's going to work out in the end. We just got to have a backbone and stand up and be strong.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer of Citronelle here on the program. Representative, another busy travel season, and we continue to talk about roads and bridges. But give us kind of, you know, 45, I got to think this time of year, you see traffic pick up, head up that way through the northwestern part of Mobile County into Washington County and on into Mississippi. You know, in the long term, this problem is going to continue to the problem of 45 being kind of a cramped roadway and a very unsafe roadway is going to continue just to get worse.
Yeah, I don't see any hope, you know, other than putting some pavement to the ground and, you know, making it four lane from Mississippi to Pritchard. And, you know, we've talked it, you know, I've met with the governor, I've met with her staff, I've met with, you know, ALDOT, Director Cooper, and, you know, we've done two or three press conferences and press releases, just trying to make people aware. And, you know, now we're talking about doing a sign campaign and putting out signs from basically the Mississippi line all the way down to Pritchard on 45, you know, informing people of the dangers of the road. To see whether, you know, we can do that. We've had a lot of interest. You know, we've had a lot of families that have lost loved ones up there, and they're willing to step up and do. But we've got a lot of people that just want to step up and help because it's the right thing, you know, including coming to Montgomery for the next legislative session to protest and try to speak up about it. So there's a lot in the works trying to get something done. You know, I don't know where we stand with that. You know, I think with the gas tax that was passed, I think we've got more of a chance to do it now than ever. You know, you had the SSUT tax, basically the internet sales tax that, you know, was implemented in Alabama several years ago. That's a major help. So there's ways that we can address and tackle this. Maybe even, you know, if something passes in the gaming industry, maybe allocating some of that money, you know, for a few years to help us get caught up. But we have more of an opportunity to do something with Highway 45 now than we've ever had.
Well, how about this? Maybe it's going to take the next governor to have to come in and do something. And we have an idea who the candidate will be. But what would you say to the non-identifiable potential hypothetical candidates that would run for governor? How important to the voters, at least in Mobile County, is doing something on 45?
I think it's huge. I think if he were to come and meet with the communities here, he would just get a better idea, because it's not just Mobile County. It's not just Washington County. I mean, I've even spoken with Representative Jamie Keel up in his district, and a lot of his constituents come that way when they're going to either the Gulf or either coming to Mobile for different stuff. So there's a lot of other areas throughout Alabama that use Highway 45. You know, throughout the legislative session, anytime something gets brought up, I'm really shocked at how many other legislators are encouraging us to do something with Highway 45. They know of the dangers of Highway 45 and are even willing to step up and say that we need to support it and do something, which means a lot. So we're gaining traction here and there. Of course, you know, the economic interest part with Mobile, with the shipping container terminal, the Airbus, Austal, the Amazon shipping center, and all the other industry that use 45 for deliveries and stuff is becoming more and more of an issue. So I think you're going to see more and more people, you know, elected officials from Mobile and around Mobile and Baldwin County that are going to step up and encourage, you know, either this governor or the next governor to step up and do something with 45.
And this is one of these routes that historically, I know we've talked about this over the years, you and I, but historically, I mean, this was supposed to be four lane. It was statutorily designated, mandated, and then the legislature came back and repealed it. But there have been times throughout Alabama history over the last 40, 50 years where your chamber, respective chambers have said, hey, this is something you guys at the Alabama Department of Transportation need to do.
Yeah, you know, it's a topic of discussion every single session. You know, and it's very encouraging when you have other legislators from other parts of the state that, you know, come to me and just shake their head that in disgust that the state and ALDOT has not done anything whatsoever to address this. You know, everybody has common sense and understands that, you know, that may not be it may not be possible to do the whole 59 whatever point miles it is of 45, but you know, we can go in there and address certain areas and hit the worst part. They've already proven that works when they did that on Highway 98, which was known as Bloody 98. They went in and basically four-laned all the worst part where all the fatality accidents were happening. And since doing that, I mean, the wrecks fell off almost completely. So it's a proven fact that it works.
Well, how about this? And you know how these road projects go. You get the green light, and then it takes years to even before you even do the groundbreaking, right? That why aren't they at least talking about it? Why isn't there like a plan? It's the same with 65 from I-10 to the Tennessee line. Like, there's no vision. There's no plan. There's nothing on the books. There's no proposal. They're not. It's just we're not interested. And I find that wholly unsatisfactory. It ought to at least be like talk can be cheap, and you at least talk about it. at that level, maybe throw some money at it to look at the feasibility or something, but they're not even interested in getting the ball rolling at all.
Yeah, and that's very frustrating, you know, because as you say, I mean, this, just say that we're able to start allocating money and developing a game plan for Highway 45, you're probably talking a good 10 years out once that starts. So it ain't like you're going to be, you know, putting pavement to the road pretty quick. You know, but I think we've got to figure out something. You know, I know there was a huge price on the engineering cost per mile on the 43 project. And, you know, we have got, there's got to be some checks and balances in place with that, to make sure that that's, you know, that we're in the ballpark with those price ranges.
A million dollars a mile on the engineering for the West Alabama corridor. That sounds outrageous to me.
That's totally outrageous. I mean, I can see it if you got to cross a bridge, a creek, or something somewhere like that, but not every mile. I mean, I don't know. It's you know, you would think some common sense would play into some of this, and we'll see. But, you know, I know that there's a lot that goes into these projects and acquiring the land that needed and different stuff. But, I mean, this, if where there's a will, there's a way. And if we're able to do other roads in other parts of the state, then we can absolutely do Highway 45 or even the 65 project.
But just $1 million a mile, just the engineer, just seems like somebody's played fast and loose with other people's money, it seems. Hey, Representative, we're out of time. We got to leave it there, but I always appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks again.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.